We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
As I watched consumers, and I do this, I know it's kind of geeky, but watched consumers re-enter stores, they really had a good time. They wanted to see things. They wanted that feeling of like pushing apparel through the rack.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne, and on this episode of Retail Gets Real, we're looking into the future of retail in 2022 and beyond. Our guest is National Retail Federation Vice President of Education Strategy, Susan Retta. She's been covering the retail industry for over 20 years. Now, we just published Susan's annual retail predictions column on NRF.com, and she's with us today to talk about the year ahead for retail. So, Susan Retta, welcome back to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here again. I appreciate the intro.
Yeah, welcome to 2022.
Welcome, as we, I don't know, did we leave 2021? I'm sort of...
I don't know.
Kind of stepping in gingerly.
We always can look ahead. We don't have to look behind. We can always look ahead. And that's about what this program is going to focus on. Because this week we welcomed thousands of retailers back to New York for Retail's Big Show. And it's always a great way to start the year. But there's a lot to deal with this year. We're still coming out of the pandemic. Supply chain and inflation concerns remain. And consumers have changed. So it must be kind of hard to come up with predictions this year. But you've been writing annual retail trend predictions for NRF for a while now. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of lost track of how many years I've done predictions. It is difficult. It's probably, you know, people think it's fun. And I find myself thinking, yeah, it's fun. You can blue sky it. But you make those predictions based on knowledge. And you try to make predictions that are real and have some traction. And so in that respect, it's always been something I really dig my heels in and work on. Actually, beginning in August, I start compiling things that I think, maybe that's something. So ongoing for a while. And I think for 2022, there's so much going on and there's so many reasons for us to feel good about retail. You're absolutely right. There's plenty of macroeconomic headwinds. We're staring at, you know, the Federal Reserve talking about a series of interest rate increases, and we're not really sure what that's going to mean, likely in inflation spikes. Labor shortages are truly real. You only have to pop into your local whatever store to see how they're trying to deal with that. And they all are doing their very best to deal with it. But it's a very real problem. And I think small businesses are really having a struggle on that front. So, you know, we have challenges. But on the other side of the coin, we have so many things bubbling up that have the potential to light a fire for retail. And those are the things that I'm excited about. I think retailers have really paid attention, as they always did, but more importantly, more than ever, to what the consumer is telling them, and the consumer wants to come back to stores. So we had our fill of, wow, isn't this great? I'm just going to go online and I'm going to shop and I'm going to shop some more. Was that me? Did I have a role in clogging the supply chain? Maybe I did.
For sure.
We had a really good time shopping. But now we're back to that point where we want to touch. We want to see things. We are excited. I mean, I think as I watched consumers, and I do this, I know it's kind of geeky, but watched consumers re-enter stores, they really had a good time. They wanted to see things. They wanted that feeling of like pushing apparel through the rack. And it's just a totally different experience, and bring it on.
I think, you know, it's interesting to me, a couple of observations. One is, you know, this industry, in terms of being able to predict the future, there's only one constant in retail, and that's change. Yeah. And a retailer or the people that work for a retailer, they can embrace it. They can run with it. They can be successful as a result of it, or they can get angry about it. They can ignore it. They can get frustrated. and then they're just not going to succeed. So it is a dynamic industry to the full extent of that word. The other thing too is the consumer. I mean, I think the consumer is just so incredibly resilient. And when you think of what the consumer went through in the Great Recession, how they came back, what they faced during this pandemic, how they've reacted, they always come back to what they want, when they want it, how they want it. And oftentimes that's in stores. And I think that's exactly, people were really excited about the opportunity when the doors open to have that experience once again. And so that's why, even back in those days several years ago, Susan, you remember we had to push back constantly on the narrative that retail was dying, particularly retail brick and mortar. And what we've learned is it's not going anywhere anytime too soon. As a matter of fact, it's just continuing to grow as a lot of the, you know, online retailers look for store footprints. And just as at the same time, those that were brick and mortar are looking for a good online presence as well.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that happened too during the pandemic is a lot of the small guys got an opportunity to kind of develop something that they just didn't have time to do before because they were trying to operate their store. Now they were given a little bit of time to kind of figure out how they could get that product and those offerings to the consumer in a way that they really hadn't had the ability to do previously. So a lot of the small guys really benefited from that time period. Some, you know, we lost, but a lot of them really got stronger as a result of the experience. So what do you
think? There's so many things running through my head. Go ahead. As you talk, I'm like, wow. And I think malls are coming back.
I'm seeing
businesses that never thought they would operate in physical footprints are excited to be there.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Our good buddies, Amazon, they're planning to open 90 stores or something.
Yeah. We just had a conversation not too long ago with the CEO, co-founder of Roan, and he was talking about his stores and how excited they are to have that physical presence. And they just can't move fast enough. They recognize that they have to, you know, be deliberate about it, but they can't wait to open that next store because it's such a great experience and working with the community and engaging with the community. And what they've done is they've been able to translate that online community they had and really put that into the store. And I think that's pretty phenomenal as well. So, all right, enough of those musings. What do you think? What trend are you most confident that will continue to
be? I think that it is around the consumer. It's about building technologies in the store that simplify the shopping experience, make it more engaging, contribute to fun. So, I mean, I definitely think that the idea of a friction-free environment will soar in 2022. I think the more retailers adopt that technology that allows the consumer to come in and out without having to stand in front of a checkout stand, so to speak, the more excited they will be about it. We just want, it's all about time and efficiency. And retailers have recognized that for a long time. And they keep doing whatever they can do to make the shopping experience more efficient. But we're seeing it in everything from convenience stores. One of our speakers is from a convenience store headquartered in the Denver, Colorado-ish area. A handful of stores. But in one of those stores, trying a friction approach. Because in the convenience, especially in and out, we want it quickly. We've seen what Amazon has done with it. We're seeing supermarket retailers think long and hard about how to make this work for them. Because again, we want to get in and out, but we need those essentials and we want that idea of shopping in the store. But any sort of technology that you can use in the store to make the experience better. There's a lot of talk about recognizing the consumer as she crosses the threshold instead of as she's at the point of purchase. And if you recognize her when she enters the store or he enters the store, you can deliver a more valuable experience in the store. So I know that that's a goal that a lot of retailers have set. I think that the steps that we're seeing retailers take to change the look of the environment, you and I have talked about biophilic before, but lots more green, lots more plants in an environment, open spaces, wood, things that bring the outdoors in that make you feel more comfortable about shopping and lift the sales ticket pretty impressively. things like what we've seen with Dick's House of Sport, where they are just completely changing that experience. You know, you can, you know, be holding a bat and kind of feeling the weight of it in the store, and they can invite you out to the field in the back, and you can try the bat out, and you can try the golf clubs out. So I know that, you know, and this is no disrespect to REI, has had a rock wall for a long time, and now so does House of Sport. But House of Sport kind of takes it to the next level, and you're trying everything. And isn't that the most amazing experience you can have when you're participating in some sort of sport, but you're a little afraid to make that leap? What's it going to feel like? And they're giving you the chance to completely try it out and have a good time before you buy, and have a good experience that you take back to everybody around you and share. So really important in that respect. So that's, you know, one of the things I think is super important.
You had mentioned, you know, at the outset that consumers want that tactile experience. They want to see, touch, and smell. And when you could take it to the next level of to actually engage with the product, it's pretty exciting. And, you know, it is kind of, you know, we go back again, I think we'll be doing this for a while, but when you look back on the pandemic and the retailers were forced to do things that they've never done before. I mean, in terms of rolling out technologies and innovations that they may have thought about and were in the testing stage and just went right from thought to in store. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they just did not wait. It had to get out and they needed to see whether or not it was going to stick or not. And in most cases, it did. Do you think that that kind of approach will continue, Susan? I mean, the retailers all of a sudden realize that, in fact, they can do these things and they don't have to take a year and a half or a couple of years to figure it out. Just get it out and let the consumer decide.
Well, damn, I hope so.
So do they. I mean, a lot of them that we talk to, they're like, God, I hope we don't go back.
Yeah, I mean, that like test. You know what? How many times have we read that expression, fail fast?
Yep.
Put it out there. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. But if it does work, wow, the lift you're going to get from it. And the consumer will tell you very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah, it's, I can't see us going back to that period where I'm going to roll it out just to a few stores and then I'm going to do and then the next step and then I'm going to see. No, let's bite the bullet and go for it.
Get it done.
I think we thought a while back that things like robotics were still, 10 years off. Oh, you know, and now Noro is delivering Domino's pizzas on a regular basis in more and more cities.
Right.
That rollout is happening very quickly. And drones, which were like, I don't know, a lot of regulations. Yes, but you know what? There's a reason for them. And when it works, that is like, I just got my medicine by drone and I didn't have to drive. And that aha moment becomes a, what do you mean? You don't deliver by drone?
Yeah. No.
It's happening fast.
I mean, do you think, so let's look at surprising things. I mean, there was always, you know, retailers love to surprise and delight. What are some surprising things that you've seen happen in retail over the past year that you think is really ready to gain momentum?
I think anything around like a dark kitchen and robotics and that idea of using previously store space that has now gone dark, but using it to propel your business forward. We're seeing it a lot on the grocery front where they're looking at smaller spaces where they can have inventory that is the most frequent things that people like myself, when it's 5:30, go, oh, damn, I just needed X,
right.
You know, and if you can call the supermarket and have them deliver that, they're doing that out of a smaller, you know, a dark store.
Right.
We heard that term for a while. I think things like that are really going to take off. Some of the things I'm a little more skeptical about are the hype kind of things. And in the last, really, the last 4 months, the word meta has become really important in retail jargon, metaverse and NFTs and Web3. And
why does that seem to have all come at the same time?
It just happened.
It's and there.
Bill, I'm not sure if it's ageism or skepticism, but it's I don't know. I'm feeling like I want to watch and see. NFTs, non-fungible tokens. We've seen a lot of retailers start playing around here. And I think it's interesting. I still don't feel like I have a firm grasp of what it is. And I'm not alone. And if you could explain, I mean, I get it. It's a digital token of some sort that you're going to own. But I thought people owned that already. It's very fuzzy to me. And then we get to like metaverse, and that is a combination of AR and VR, and it's a whole other alternative world. And again, is it because I'm a certain age that I think, oh no, I want technology to help me live more efficiently in the real world.
Right.
I don't want to live in an alternative world. And the last thing I want to do is put something over my eyes, because rest assured, I'm going to fall and trip and it's not going to be pretty. So I mean, I'm hearing mixed things about that. Some people, have you seen that commercial where the gentleman is playing tennis with his, and he's wearing the Oculus? And I just love the expressions of the wife and the daughter who are like, get a life, you know,
and I kind of
feel that way, but he seems to enjoy it. If I spun around with a racket in my hand wearing that, I would just be done. I'm interested to see how these things unfold. But do I think that the consumer is ready for this right now? I don't. I think that we'll look at watching particularly Web3 evolve, because that's sort of a next generation of the World Wide Web. And it gives more control to the user, although I'm not exactly sure what that's about. It also touches on tokens and cryptocurrency. And so it gets a little mired in my brain. But I'm certain that retailers are looking for what is the next angle and are considering all of these pieces. And that's what they should be doing. They should be testing everything. So
have you heard anything about retailers moving towards Bitcoin, accepting Bitcoin as denomination or whatever for payment? I'm just curious. I haven't heard of that.
I have not heard that they would do that. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
But if there was somebody edgy who gave it a shot, but I don't want to speak out of turn. I just don't see Macy's and Target saying, bring your Bitcoin. I just don't see it happening.
All right. So I know we're running close on time, but there's two more things I want to ask real quick. One is the biggest way the pandemic has impacted retailer strategies going forward.
That it's made us all more transparent. And I think that's a really good thing. I think that we are demanding that retailers have a purpose and that they tell us what it's about. And if it doesn't align with what the consumer thinks is most important to them, then they'll move on. But I think that retailers need to have a strong point of view and put it out there. And I think that's a good thing that's come. I mean, other than the technology pieces that we've talked about, I do think that that's a good piece that's come out.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're more sensitive to diversity, and that's born of the situations we've been in through the pandemic.
Yep.
Kudos.
It's time. And you know, the great thing is it seems to me, and I always get really irritated about it, but a lot of lip service in the past, but now people are talking the talk and walking the walk. I mean, they know that they have to do something. We have a problem and it's not going to be fixed overnight, but slowly but surely, if we are aware of it, if we address it, we can get better as a result of it. So anyway, before we leave, I want to ask you, Susan Retta, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received that's helped you throughout your career?
Oh, the best. A lot of people have given me advice. Usually for me, it's around, I am a perfectionist. I've just like, I want it, everything to be great. So, and I spent most of my career in writing. So every paragraph had to flow to the next paragraph and it all had to hang together. And it would take a long time. And I have been told, you know, progress over perfection. And so it's something that sort of sits with me sometimes when I get into that rabbit hole of, it's not right. It's not perfect. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
You have to make progress. It has to be good. You have to believe in it. And then, you know, move forward. So
I told you a long time ago, Susan, I think you're one of the best writers that I've ever read. I mean that sincerely. I hear your voice and it comes in what you write about. I get the feeling as to how you're writing it, why you're writing it, how you feel while you're writing it. And that is really an art and a gift. So
thank you.
I just want to thank you for being with us today and sharing your insights. Thank you, Susan Retta.
I appreciate being here, and I appreciate that compliment. Thank you.
And you can find Susan's column on the NRF blog at nrf.com and get more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne. As we switch from a pandemic, hopefully soon to an endemic, but until that end is in sight, I just want to say, please be safe, stay well, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again.